1 minute after five, time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC. So glad you joined us. Hope you can stick around for the next hour. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, here
I'm
as
cleaning
well.
The board.
Just getting
and
ourselves
my microphone. Hear that?
Settled. Oh, yeah. Stop. Well, let's see. We started a new series on Fridays. We call the show How Music Changed, and we just started a series dedicated to the Monkees. Now, I guess it's debatable in some quarters whether or not the Monkees would be one of the more influential acts of recorded music. But if you were alive at the time, if you were my age, for sure, you would definitely think so. And the fact that they had such a profound effect on combining music and television, I think, is enough reason. Added to that, of course, the fact that they recorded an amazing catalog of great recordings. So, last week, we talked mostly about preparing for the television program. Now, the TV program represented something different, geared to fill a spot aimed squarely at 60s youth. As such, the episodes were written with zany humor, emphasizing camaraderie with the guys all living in their own little clubhouse, although they're unemployed, and sprinkled with songs. The show was the main attraction, but songs were obviously an essential ingredient of the show. In all honesty, though, nobody except music producer Don Kirshner expected much success from the music by itself. But the idea of a companion album made sense, if only as a promotion tool. Kirshner's instincts were right, though. But the success that he envisioned was based solely on the songs that he provided, not necessarily the participation of the show's actors. He was hoping they would act and be quiet, pretty much. Even this early in their existence, though, it quickly became obvious that most of the boys were more interested in the music than the show itself. So their personalities and some of their music abilities, by necessity, are sprinkled throughout the debut album, and it became a million seller. Everybody got more than they bargained for, including Don Kirshner. So, to kick this off, let's get this party started as if we're just tuning in at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Standard Time.
The Monkees, brought to you by Kellogg.
K-E-L-L-O-Good. Kellogg's best to you.
Where's everybody?
We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Hey, hey, we're the Monkees. And people say we're monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. Come and watch us sing and play. We're the young generation, and we've got something to say.
Basically, the way the TV show opened for the first season.
Okay, here we go. This is one
with
scene.
That theme song.
Oh, just a little bit happy.
One, two, three.
Can you pause it?
One, two, three.
That's better. What's happening over there?
I don't know. That was still part of track two.
Can't get a good engineer these days. Boy,
that was still part of track two. I'm just saying there's 23 seconds left on that.
Really?
Yes.
We'll see where it takes us. We'll just start it up again. But where we left off last week was Don Kirshner trying to throw a bone to Mike Nesmith by giving him a recording session. And we ended with a few of the songs that they recorded. One of them that we played last week was Papa Jean's Blues. And not surprisingly, Kirshner limited Nesmith's contribution from those sessions to that one song. Now, admittedly, Nesmith's expansive tastes were never going to be an easy sell. When it came to the music, there wasn't that singular musical vision, said Mickey Dolenz. If it was anybody's, it was Boyce and Hart's mainly. They always presented That always presented a problem, mainly with Mike and Peter, because between them and the record company, it was Peter and Mike who wished to run the band. Now, Boyce and Hart contributed their work on July 9th with some vocal overdubs from the cast and the taping of three Kirshner-selected numbers. I'll Be True to You had been written by Jerry Goffin, yeah, the husband of Carole King, with Russ Tittleman in 1964 after they saw a screening of the Beatles' A Hard Day's Night, in which they first heard the song If I Fell. So I'll Be True to You was their, like, spin on that. In January 1965, Goffin and Tittleman's tune was a British hit for the Hollies under the title Yes, I Will, a fact that was completely unknown to expatriate monkey Davy Jones for some 20 years. And I didn't know that either. Davy says, quote, I was very, very shocked when all of a sudden in 1989 we played the Albert Hall and a part of the review said that the Monkees were singing a Hollies hit, said Jones. Because I had no idea. I went, what? My wife was speaking to me at the time and she said, wow, yeah, that was the Hollies. They had a hit with that. That's a good song. I said, oh, really? So also recorded on July 9th was a Goffin and Carole King song called Take a Giant Step, a song from the failed Snuff Garrett session that we discussed last week, and also David Gates' Saturday's Child. All of the above had been selected by Kirshner. We were told to do Take a Giant Step, I'll Be True to You, and Saturday's Child, says Bobby Hart. We basically got his permission to do other songs we had written. Nesmith was off in another studio doing his stuff and putting pressure on Kirshner to be represented. As it turns out, though, all three of the songs that were presented by Don Kirshner, produced by the Boyce Hart combo, made it onto the album, starting with I'll Be True to You on American Net Radio 90.3 WHBC.
I'll be true to you. Yes, I will. I'll be true to you. Yes, I will. I won't look twice when the other girls go by. I'll be true to you. Yes, I will. Somehow this time all so clear to me, the way to go is easy to see. My heart is sure you're the girl I'm waiting for, and I'll be true to you. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I never promised this to anyone before, but I'll be true.
Yes, I'll be true. Yes, I will.
I'll be true to you. Yes, I will. Every dream that you have,
I never promised this to anyone before, but I'll be true.
Yes, I'll be true.
Yes, I will.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
you've played at love and lost, and sorrow's turned your heart to frost. I will melt your heart again. Remember the feeling as a child when you woke up and morning smiled. This time you felt like you did then. There's just no percentage in remembering the past. It's time you learn to live again at last. Come with me, leave yesterday behind, and take a giant step outside your mind. You stare at me in disbelief, say for you there's no relief, but I swear I'll prove you wrong. Don't sit in your lonely room, just staring back in silent gloom. That's not where you belong. Come with me, I'll take you where the taste of life is green, and every day holds wonders to be seen. Yesterday with me, and take the giant, and take a giant step outside your mind. And take a giant step outside your mind.
The Sound of Only Mickey.
Yes, it's really interesting. But the first track that we played, I'll Be True to You,
was The Sound of Only Davy.
Yeah, the only monkey on that record is Davy. The others don't even show up on the credits. That's not even them on backing vocals.
I'm going to act like a monkey all during this show.
And the next track, Take a Giant Step, with both, by the way, written by Jerry Goffin. And the difference in quality is stunning to me, because I certainly could do without hearing I'll Be True to You. I almost felt guilty playing it on the radio.
That's too shocking for you.
It's really shocking. But Take a Giant Step is like a pretty darn great song.
Very homage to Timothy Leary.
In a way, you could look at it as being about basically mind expansion, or really just about maybe like breaking away from something in your past that's holding
education.
You down. But that bridge is really kind of like psychedelic, and there's a lot going on in that. It's a really, you know, a really well-arranged song. You know, I think Boyce and Hart did a great job there, but the only person in the room who's a monkey who's have anything to do with the song on Take a Giant Step is Mickey. And the same with this next song, which is written by David Gates. You might know David Gates because he was the leader of the band Bread.
Ah.
And he wrote all of the Bread hits of the 70s. Before then, he was a songwriter, and he wrote this, which is one of the best songs on the album. But again, the only member of the four-member band of the Monkees on this track is Mickey. There's nothing else but studio musicians, with Mickey singing the lead vocal on Saturday's Child on 90.3 WHBC.
Money had a sad child, always feeling low down. Tuesday had a dream child, she's always on the go, so I'm in love with Saturday's child. Every time you take her out at night, you wanna kiss and hold her way up tight. You can tell the future's looking bright. If you love a Wednesday, you live your life apart now. And if you love a Thursday, she's
gonna break your heart. So I'm in love with Saturday's child. Every time you hold her close, you'll see. You can feel the thrill that's gonna be. Now the future has a guarantee. Seven days of the week made to choose from, but only one is right for me. I know that Saturday's got what it takes, babe. I can tell by the way she looks at me. A good wife. She wants to be a bride, so I'm in love with Saturday's child. Every time you take her out at night, you wanna kiss and hold her way up tight. You can tell the future's looking bright. Every time you take her out at night, you wanna kiss and hold her way up tight. You can tell the future's looking bright.
My entire life, I presumed that that was probably Pete singing the harmony vocals in the background, or
but
one
no.
of the two voices, but no, it wasn't.
Aw.
Boyce Heart. All right, so we said that those sessions are taking place, and Boyce Heart there, right there, is the album starting to take place. Three songs, definitely complete, ready to be, make the Monkees' debut album. Mike, as they said, was trying to put the heat on. So the strong-willed Nesmith was at the helm of a session again on July 18, producing three more songs. Of these, You Just May Be the One had the makings of a pop hit, but it was only used on the television show. They wouldn't let it onto the album.
Huh.
At a certain point, this is Nesmith speaking, I started writing pop tunes, says Nesmith of this composition, whereas I had been writing things up to that point that were much more country-oriented, much more lyrically complex, melodically simple. But I was heading into the direction that I was ultimately that I ultimately went with my solo albums, which was a kind of country rock. You Just May Be the One was one of the first attempts at writing pop music. But of course, I still had this sensibility of country and a kind of Latin thing that was going on. I tried to keep the lyrics simple, very straight ahead. Then there was another interesting overlay on that song. It was an idea of writing a song that we could play as a band, given the type of band we would become, having just been thrown into a room together. Indeed, the song was soon to become a permanent part of the Monkees' live set, and in early 1967, they recorded a new version on which they played and sang nearly every note off of the third album, Headquarters. This predates Headquarters, and we're going to start it with a song that basically from the same sessions, written by Mike, that wasn't used at all, but you might recognize it because it was used on the Monkees' second album. We'll start with The Kind of Girl I Could Love, an alternate version. We'll let that segue into You Just May Be the One, also an alternate version.
Sweetest pair of eyes, and your kiss would be better.
Songs composed by Mike Nesmith. And what's really crazy about it is just how incredible the band is that he put together. I mean, while Boyce and Hart certainly had very good and imaginative studio musicians on their sessions, Mike brought in James Burton and Glenn Campbell on guitar.
Oh, wow.
He had Hal Blaine on drums. And he was kind enough to invite the other three monkeys to the sessions to let them sing background.
So nice.
Mickey and Davey and Peter are on those two tracks that we just heard.
That's awesome.
But none of them were used yet. They were all basically put in the can at this point in time. The first track that we played would eventually, Kind of Girl I Could Love, would eventually be remixed and put out on the second album. And You Just May Be the One was going to be re-recorded, and it made the third. But in the meantime, Session puts on the same session, but he's got, or maybe it was like the same session but a different day. He had two more songs, this time, one written by Carole King and Jerry Goffin, called I Won't Be the Same Without Her, and another one, a song that he wrote with them. And here's the story there. The final Nesmith for the first session also produced recordings of Goffin and King's pop tearjerker, I Won't Be the Same Without Her. And the pop writing duo's bizarre collaboration with Nesmith, Sweet Young Thing, propelled by a pounding beat and the incongruous fiddling of Western swing legend Jimmy Bryant, who, by the way, we were playing Jimmy Bryant for 3 weeks in a row on Wednesday.
On the Nitty Gritty?
Yeah, the Nitty Gritty Band stuff.
Cool.
Sweet Young Thing defied categorization. Unbelievably, this was the one song Kirshner chose to release from the date. Figure that. Still, Nesmith was not totally happy with the results. He said, I think Sweet Young Thing was a good song. I liked Jerry and Carol quite a bit. It was not the sort of songwriting alliance that I would continue to any great effect. You know, I'm just not a big fan of their writing environment. I didn't like being cast in with some other folks and saying, write with them. Jerry and Carol had very strong songwriting styles. I really enjoyed working with them. It was just the circumstances that were tough. Some 40 years later, Kirshner still feels that Nesmith was ungrateful for the opportunity that this collaboration presented. Carol and Jerry were giants, American writers, he said. Mike, whose ego is bigger than anybody's, probably said, great. He never appreciated what I did because I don't let a lot of people write with my writers. I did everything so he would conform, but it didn't work. Boy, they were really already at loggerheads.
They were butting heads.
Here are those two tracks that Mike basically produced or wrote one of them with Goffin and King on American at Radio, 90.3 WHPC.
Life is hard. much now.
When she left,
to my brain. I'm either feeling very good or else I am insane. The seeds of doubts you planted have started to grow wild, and I feel that I must yield before the wisdom of a child. And it's love you bring, know that I can't deny, and with your wings I can learn to fly, sweet young
sweet
thing. Try to talk to me, their words are ugly sounds. I resist all their attempts to try and bring me down. Turned on to the sunset like I've never been before. I'll listen for your footsteps and your knock upon the door. And it's love you bring, know that I can't deny. With your wings I can learn to fly, sweet young thing. And it's love you bring, with dreams of bluer skies, and the morning sings when I see it in your eyes, sweet young thing. Sweet young thing.
Man, I just think Mike Nesmith is so great. And writing with Goffin and King, I mean, maybe I understand why he wouldn't want to necessarily be forced to write with somebody else, but that was one of the highlights of the first album for me, hearing Sweet Young Thing. The psychedelic, like, fiddle playing.
At throughout
it. It's awesome.
That violin is out there.
Meanwhile, though, Boyce and Hart were completely immune to the wrangling that was going on with Nesmith, and they continued their production work the next day with new versions of two songs that they had composed for the Monkees' pilot show. Fast and slow arrangements of I Want to Be Free, with the ballad version obviously won for the first album, as well as a new version of the theme song, were committed to tape over the course of an 8-hour session. Well, we played the theme song last week, so here are back-to-back the two competing versions of I Wanna Be Free. The second one, I think, is the one that you'll recognize on American at Radio 90.3 WHPC.
Alas, my love, you do.
Laughing in the
the sun, always having fun, doing all those things without any strings to tie me down.
The version with the harpsichord and the violin.
The gentle stylings of Davy.
It's the version that made the album. Tommy Boyce speaking. That's one of the few songs in my whole career, certainly with, it's Bobby Hart. Certainly with Boyce, that we wrote just because we felt like writing one night, says Hart, if I want to be free. Usually we were writing for projects all the time. This was one evening when Tommy and I were sharing a house in the Hollywood Hills, and he just said, I have this idea. Do you feel like writing something? He was playing these chords, and there was some part of a line in that song that was inspired by a Roger Miller song, a ballad about suicide, basically. It may have had the words in it, I want to be free. We just started with the title, and it just kind of flowed out really good. He sang it to me, basically, I want to be free, and I went on into, like the bluebirds flying by me. We had the whole thing wrapped up in less than an hour, I'd say. It was lucky that, you know, they're waiting for us when we needed a ballot a few months later for the pilot. All right, moving on. A Saturday session on July 23 resulted in two more Boyce and Hart produced tracks, and they both ended up making the album. Tomorrow's Going to Be Another Day came from a collaboration of Boyce's with writer Steve Vinay, contemporaneously covered by such groups as The Shadows of Night, Astronauts, and Sir Raleigh and the Coupons. The song was most notable for its arrangement, which included a guitar riff that presages the yet-to-be-recorded Last Train to Clarksville. Also, in the garagey seventh chord mode was Boyce and Hart's Gonna Buy Me a Dog, previously attempted by Nesmith a few weeks earlier. That's how we ended last week's show. The song was remade as a slower novelty, soon to be topped off by Davey and Mickey's irreverent vocals. They came in and, you know what I wanted to do? You're right. I wanted to play, before I get to that, let's play these two tracks. You're right, Heidi. Thank you. Let's play two other tracks that were Davies that did not make the album. Let's start with Can't Get Her Off My Mind into I Prithee Do Not Ask for Love.
I've been standing on the corner all day, trying to think of little things to say, 'cause she walks by every day about this time. And I can't get her off of my mind. I only met her about a week ago, but the way she smiled let me know she could see that maybe we were two of a kind. And I can't get her off of my mind. She's so pretty, I couldn't believe she'd ever look my way. But the way I'm feeling, I'm gonna be stealing that little girl's heart today. I'm so happy I could almost fly, and I guess you know the reason why. I'm walking down the street with her little hand in mine, and I don't think I'll ever get her off of my mind. I couldn't believe she'd ever look my way. But the way I'm feeling, I'm gonna be stealing that little girl's heart today. I'm so happy I could almost buy, and I guess you know the reason why. I'm walking down the street with a little hand in mine, and I don't think get her off of my mind, and I don't think I'll ever get her off of my mind, and I don't think I'll ever get her off of my mind, and I don't.
Is it so once more thou art returning? Hast thou lost thy way as once before? I warn thee more than many times, thus would it be. I shall not be thy refuge once more. Thou makest me free
go thy way, and soon I shall go likewise. And if thy path be high, then be mine low. Behold my footsteps in the sand, but follow not, for soon they shall be covered with snow.
Glad you reminded me to play those tracks, Heidi. I almost forgot. You know, after we played the two different versions of I Want to Be Free, I figured it made sense to basically just do a little Davy segment there, because what that represented was the Boyce and Hart representation of Davy with I Can't Get Her Off of My Mind, for an album, a song that didn't make the album, and Mike's idea of producing Davy. That was a song written by Michael Martin Murphy. And that's Mike doing the production, but giving the song to Davy to sing with the same crew, with the same wonderful, you know, James Burton and Glenn Campbell in that batch.
Nice.
Doing that song, but Mike trying to produce Davy. Mike really is trying to basically work
bring
with
the band into fruition.
Nothing came of those sessions, though. Now, what did come from the Boyce and Hart sessions is they wrote the song Gonna Buy Me a Dog, and I'm sure that both Mickey and Davy sensed immediately that the song itself was a total dog. And they really must have, like, basically, they had a very hard time taking it seriously. And what's really funny about it is they used the track of them messing around in the studio being total.
I know, it's the best.
Being cornballs, because they were just sort of, they couldn't help but mock the song as they were going through it. It was very 100% spontaneous. According to, this is Mickey, goes, I never sang a song that I thought was just gross, remarks Dolan of this dog of a tune. The only time I ever kind of had fun with it was when we did Gonna Buy Me a Dog. Originally, that was supposed to be done straight. Davy and I just started goofing on it, and they ended up using the goof rather than the straight version. That happened an awful lot in the television show anyway. They would use the outtakes. How straight could it be, counters Bobby Hart. It's true that they contributed the specific little jokes in between, and all that was spontaneous. The song itself could hardly be construed as ever being straight. They were pretty spontaneous. Most of the songs that we did with Mickey and Davy were one or two take propositions. Usually, Mickey took a little coaxing, and he'd usually come in negative, and he'd go out and try one take and say, I don't think this song is for me. I don't sound good. Then Tommy would take him off and give him a little pep talk, and he'd come back and sing it in one take usually. In this case, this is one of the few times we had more than one solo singer in the studio at the same time, as I had mentioned, they only used one at a time, with the idea of Mickey and Davy doing it together. We were trying to find the whole Beatles formula all the way. We wanted to have one novelty number in there, like Ringo's obligatory novelty piece on every Beatles record. Well, they got that, that's for sure, on American Hit Radio 90.3 WHBC, the album version of Gonna Buy Me a Dog.
I'm gonna pack up all the pain I've been keeping in my heart. I'm gonna catch me the fastest train. I'm gonna make me a brand new start, but that's okay. Tomorrow's gonna be another day. Hey, 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 hey. And I don't care what you say. Tomorrow's gonna be, tomorrow's gonna be, tomorrow's gonna be another day. Yeah.
fish swimming in the deep blue sea. I'm gonna catch me a pretty one and she'll be good to me, but that's okay. Tomorrow's gonna be another day. Hey, 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 hey. And I don't care what you say. Tomorrow's gonna be, tomorrow's gonna be, tomorrow's gonna be another day. Tomorrow's gonna be, tomorrow's gonna be another day.
She used to bring me my newspaper.
You don't even know where it's at.
Cause she knew where it was at. She used to keep me so contented. But I can teach a dog to do that. I'm gonna buy me a dog.
You couldn't teach a dog to do that. You can only train elephants.
Cause I need a friend now.
I need a friend now.
Now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna buy me dog.
A dog here over Fido's spot.
My girl, no love, no how.
1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hike!
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 I was late on that one. I just got back from Africa, you know. I was playing cards with the natives.
Oh, Zulus?
No, I usually won.
I wish I had a glass of water.
Why, are you thirsty?
No, I want to see if my neck leaks. I buy a raccoon, but John already has one.
35
what do I
bucks.
Come here? Okay. I'm gonna buy me a dog.
Dog.
A dog. Mm.
Yeah.
Cause I need a friend now.
Yeah, yeah.
Boop, boop, shabop, bop, ram-a-lam. I'm gonna buy me a dog. What, my girl don't love me no how. How?
Now.
Now,
brown,
brown cow. I think I'm gonna buy me a dog, yes sir. I'm gonna buy me a dog. If I was looking for a word to describe what I'm gonna buy, I think dog would be the word. It would be dog. That would come springing from my lips. Dog. Boing, boing, boing. It would be springing from my...
Atomic, can you turn it off, please? Can somebody open the door and let us out? They're coming to take us away.
Ooh, he made a reference to your favorite song there.
I just think you just get to hear like the camaraderie between them, and it's pretty awesome. So the final session for the Monkees' first album took particular inspiration from the Beatles and resulted in the group's debut single. What happened was, this is Boyce and Hart talking again. I was pulling into my carport. I was punching the stations, and I heard the tail end of Paperback Writer for the first time. Recalls Heart. It had just been released by the Beatles, and all I heard was the ending fade-out part. I thought they were saying, take the last train to, you know, ride to somewhere. Then, of course, a couple of days later, I heard the whole song, and I realized it wasn't about a train. I was inspired by that phrase in the melodic movement toward the seventh note on the chord. I said, well, since they didn't use it, it's a great start of something else. So I just had it in the back of my mind. And then we were coming down to the end of producing the first album and we needed another song or two. So I said I had this idea. And Time and I got together and did it really quickly. Just as quickly, Kirshner just selected the song as the Monkees' first release. On August 16th, the record-buying public was introduced to the group that would dominate the charts through 1967, the very first thing you would have heard by the band. I was worried about the song because it wasn't personal, Kirshner says, of his choice for the Monkees' debut. I was worried about the train thing, and it wasn't boy-girl, so the point of the matter is, you know, hey, they were West Coast guys. I was living in New York with all my writers, and until I flew out there, I didn't know what I was getting into. Quickly immersing himself in the West Coast sound, Kirshner chose Last Train to Clarksville as the single, and his leap of faith would pay off with a number one single, followed by a number one album. We'll see you next week, folks, on American Radio 90.3 WHPC. Here is the Monkees' debut release, Last Train to Clarksville.
You can be here by 4:30, 'cause I've made your reservation. Don't be slow. No, 'cause I'm leaving in the morning, and I must see you again. We'll have one more night together, till the morning brings my train, and I must go. No. I don't know if I'm ever coming home. Take the last train to Clarksville. I'll be waiting at the station. We'll have time for coffee, flavored kisses, and a bit of conversation. No. Take the last train to Clarksville. Now I must hang up the phone. I can't hear you in this noisy railroad station. All alone, I'm feeling low. No. And I don't know if I'm ever coming. Take the last train to Clarksville, and I'll meet you at the station. You can be here by 4:30, 'cause I've made your reservation. Don't be slow. No. And I don't know if I'm ever coming home.